points in the game. Lindholm sends it in, and it's Pasternak scores! Series winner for David Pasternak and the Bruins!
Nothing in life is so exhilarating as to be shot at without result. The great Winston Churchill might as well be the Boston Bruins mantra after yet another Game 7 victory against the Toronto Maple Leafs. A near-death experience for the Bruins. They love flying close to the sun. This time they escape once again. Because as Chris said, the final weeks of the regular season, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome to the Brews and Bruins podcast, a celebratory one today on this Cinco de Mayo, coming off of, as we just mentioned, another series victory in overtime against the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 7. I am Cam Hasbrick, joined by Chris Gear and Drew Johnson, who is apparently somewhat roachless. We'll have to get an update on that at some point. How are we feeling, guys? What a couple of days, huh? Never a doubt. Never a doubt.
Absolutely fantastic. Took hundreds of years off my life. I will be dead after this playoff run, but it will be totally worth it just for that.
Yep. Drew?
Yeah. No, that was good, wasn't it? I wasn't sweating at all throughout any of the games. You know, I was just kind of chilling, relaxing, no anxiety. No, while I was watching the game, I was just like in the corner of the living room in the chair, just like quiet as hell. Like I just was watching my dad and I, and we're just like, oh, I was so on edge. So glad they could pull it off. And that's the way it's supposed to go.
Yep. It, shouts to Rosie's in Portland. Electric atmosphere throughout the game. I was pretty much just sitting there for three straight hours screaming at the TV saying, I'm not having fun. This is fucking terrible. And it ended up with just hugging a bunch of strangers after about 17 Miller High Lifes. So I, for that reason, am still in recovery mode. I'm sipping on a little bit of juice, a little bit of Dunkies. You do what you got to do after Game 7 late night. But Chris, I know you got something over there. So you want to lead us off?
Yeah, this is my first alcohol of the series. I usually am a very nervous drinker during playoff series, but been sober during this one. But, it is the high holiday of Cinco de Mayo, so not a holiday that's celebrated in Mexico. But I can tell you, on this side of the border, this close to Mexico, it is celebrated among Mexican-Americans. I went with not something special, but I spiced something up. Got a Pacifico and didn't have any tajin. I like doing a tajin rim, but I kind of like jerry-rigged some tajin. I made like a little slurry of lime juice and hot sauce and used that to like get some moisture on the rim of the glass, and then made a little combo of salt and sugar, and salt and sugared the rim. So it's a little salty, a little spicy, a little sweet, a little sour, a little bit of everything. And then squirted the extra lime into the beer, as one does. Oh boy. Tasteability, much higher than usual, because I've added so much flavor. Almost too much flavor, you might say. Tasteability is 37. Drinkability. I mean, the rim decreases the drinkability a little bit, but it's just such a drinkable beer, so we'll go with 35.
Love it.
I regretfully don't have an Allmark clip. I need to work on that. I do have a Pasternak one now, so if anyone rates something 88,
yeah, there you go. I
was trying to decide what beer to have, and then Chris had reminded me Cinco de Mayo, so I got a Corona. It was that or a PBR, so this is definitely more in the Cinco de Mayo wheelhouse. Everyone knows what a Corona is. This is a limeless Corona, I will add. Drinkability.
Underrated.
Huh?
Underrated. I think Corona without lime.
I really prefer, especially if I go to a bar and they're going to give me a lime that's way too big. And then the whole mouth of the bottle is like sticky and weird. And it's just like, this isn't enjoyable. But this is in the drinkability. Did I already say that? I don't know. I'll go 30. Tasteability. Got to go like a 17. It's kind of compared to most beers. Yeah. Go with that.
Very nice.
Back to you, Cam.
Awesome. Where to even begin? Let's jump back. We haven't recorded in a few games here.
Just busy
and nervous and busy and all nervous.
Lazy. A little bit of lazy.
A little bit of lazy.
That's what we do here. Thanks, DraftKings. 3-1 series lead. Quickly evaporating, little overtime action in there. Just an atrocious start, really, to both games for the Bruins. Very little urgency, very little energy. Starting to get some flashbacks to a certain series with the Florida Panthers, who we'll get to in a few minutes from last season. But coming into Game 7, what were the vibes like for you guys? I don't know. It was a weird in-between of they've done this plenty of times before for me, especially against Toronto. It was also obviously hard to not consider what happened last season. It was a weird mix of doom and acceptance, but also an odd confidence that this time was going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, I personally was very nervous, and then I saw this graphic that CBS Sports put out, and I realized in 2013 and in 2018 the Bruins had 3-1 series leads against Toronto and then won it in Game 7. And Marchand after the game said, you know, now this will be remembered as we won the series. No one's going to talk about how we were up 3-1, you know, and you know, next year when people are reflecting. So but yeah, I was definitely nervous. I was definitely, you just didn't know what team you're going to see out of the Bruins going into it. And then I think, you know, after the first period I think they have it in him, but it was just, they weren't solving Samsonov and they had some pretty good chances. And it was just like, okay, this is a goaltender battle now. And that is the worst anxiety of any playoff hockey game. I feel like you want like a 6-5 game, plenty of goals, but.
Yeah, the problem with the goaltender battle is it really does come down to the weird bounce. Like, mm-hmm. The Lindholm goal was like, when it nicked off the post off of Samsonov's shoulder, like an inch to the left, inch to the right. That's not a goal. Mm-hmm. That's really what it comes down to. And then obviously the winning goal, the bounce off of the corner, like perfectly straight to Pasta, like,
mm-hmm. which was a set play. But you gotta get the back.
Lindholm hit it perfectly off the boards.
he chipped it, so it wasn't like on the ice. So it had to land before hitting the boards. Mm-hmm. It had to land evenly and not like kick up or, you know,
right.
When it kicked to Pasta, the puck had settled. Like these are the things that, as much as I was saying before the series, like, it's the Leafs. Like, we don't have to fucking worry about it. Yeah, I was so nervous. In addition to the normal Game 7 nerves, I was watching with Isabel, and one of my very first sports watching memories, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, like the first thing I remember is like this big win, like big Red Sox win or whatever. Like, I think my first one was the Patriots Packers Super Bowl, where they lost by like fucking 30 points or whatever.
My dad was there. We don't talk about it in this family.
I believe I was 7 years old when that took place, so maybe I was six. So Isabel's in that range where like a traumatic loss could be something that follows her from the
rest. Yeah.
Going like, am I exposing this person to something that's gonna hurt her for the rest of her life?
She'll now be like, which one did we watch together? That was the 2024, right? Or was it the one before?
Instead, she might have a memory to take with her for the rest of her life. But none of it really means anything if the Bruins don't go on and win the next series. But, you know, I can't imagine what Leafs fans are feeling right now. This one, doesn't feel quite as funny because, you know, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. A lot of, you know, players are going to be on the move, and maybe not even the core four. They all have no move protection. So it might fall to players whose fault it was not to, you know, rearrange the culture in the room and everything. So, yeah, I'm not dancing on any graves because also the Bruins have to go to Florida and play the Panthers, who did the same thing to them last year. So,
yeah, it is a weird mix for me of I feel a little bit like we're playing with house money now, just for the sake of like if we lose to a Florida Panthers team that is probably better than the Bruins. I mean, over the course of the regular season, they were. It'll be disappointing. It won't be heartbreaking. If we had lost to the Leafs, that would have taken months to get over. So, to some extent, we got the biggest one out of the way. But I'm sure by the time tomorrow night rolls around and we're actually watching the game, it's going to change again. But to Chris's point, and to Chris's should be copyrighted hockey is weird. It is bizarre that jobs are going to be lost, that people are going to, you know, there's going to be so much shakeup on the Toronto side. And, you know, who knows, there was, you know, what fans say, especially, is largely irrelevant in emotional circumstances like this. But people were saying the same thing about the Bruins if they had lost last night again. So the fact that organizationally, like, so many, you know, this fork in the road, it could have gone so many different ways off of, again, a quick bounce, an inch on a shot by Lindholm, you know what I mean, a few stops by Sway. Who we'll need to get to because he was incredible. It's just kind of crazy that so much rides on so much randomness in a sport like this. But yeah, definitely, I'll dance on the graves a little bit more. That's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, you have to. You have to do a little shake and bake on there. But
we are the Brews and Bruins podcast.
Exactly. It is our job to laugh at the Leafs. But
you know what else is our job? Do you know what else is our job?
No, I thought you were going to play a clip, to be honest with you.
Oh, no. All I was going to say is that the chase for the Stanley Cup restricted is on. And if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of the playoff beards all the way till the hoisting of the cup. That's probably one of the better lines they've given us, honestly. From the start of playoff beards all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. We no longer have the rights to the NHL shield, it seems, but we do have the cup restricted. So, or registered. Oh, it's a registered trademark. R with the circle.
I don't know who the hell cares.
I
thought it was especially cold, Drew, that you lined up the Sportsnet clip for the pod rather than the ABC one. That's, you know,
just what was there. I'll work on that now, Cam. If you
I like it. No, I liked it. It felt like a little extra salt in the wound.
Yeah, it's the Toronto. It's what all of them heard.
Yep. I know. They should have cut to Maple Leaf Square. I wanted to see what was going on there. Hmm. Did they? I don't know. Maybe they did. I was hugging strangers, as you tend to do. Jeremy Swayman. Who? What a series from Jeremy Swayman. I mean, you can't say enough good things about him. He was so, so calm again last night. He is more and more becoming one of those Tuukka Rask style goalies where he makes saves that should be incredibly difficult look just so routine because his positioning, his ability to read plays is just unreal right now. God, I can't even begin to say enough good things about how well he performed. You know, going forward, like I don't know how you turn away from him right now. The guy's been incredible, and again, nothing to do with Olmark, but when you have a hot hand like this in the playoffs, you got to ride it out. But just, I mean, wow, what a performance from him over the course of that series.
Yeah, I mean, that is what you talk about when you're saying like a hot goalie can change everything, because the Bruins offense and I guess transition game in terms of being able to get the puck out of the defensive zone in any sort of way just absolutely disappeared for three games. And, you know, Swayman kept them in it, even if he didn't win those games. I mean, the Bruins didn't lose by four goals or whatever. Like, if I don't know, we're talking about like any normal team that has just like your league average goaltender, you're talking about a team getting pinned in their own zone for entire games. You're probably talking about losing games 4-1 instead of, you know, 2-1 games in overtime. Yeah, 950 save percentage. That's
pretty good.
Absurd. Yeah, I mean, it didn't take a genius to watch Swayman playing and go, oh yeah, he's just like, he's kind of playing different right now. It's the like cleanly grabbing pucks with his trapper, like through heavy traffic, and just like, it's not even a big deal. Like, don't worry about it, guys. Like, it really gave the Tim Thomas feeling where like, even if a guy's on a 1-0 break, you're like, all right, yeah, I mean, he's probably going to make that save. Obviously, he didn't make the save on the Nylander one, but you know, there were saves in game 7 where it was just like, yeah, I mean, that's probably a goal most of the time, but I wasn't nervous about it. I was more nervous about the, you know, the pucks going through traffic, and he was still making those saves. So
yeah, going side to side, so many backdoor looks late, you know what I mean? Those kinds of things where the shot would come through and right into the logo, just eating it up, being right there. Never that I could tell overcommitting to those. It seemed like, you know, he wasn't cheating it. He just was there, was reading it, got across. Yeah, just unreal. 950, like Chris said, 950 save percentage, 149 goals against. Gave up 2-1, 2-2-1 that series. You're gonna win a lot of hockey games if you're doing that.
Yeah, honestly, that's even more impressive than, you know, having the shutout in there somewhere, because that means you didn't give up three goals ever.
Yeah.
If you're never giving up three goals, you're giving your team a really good chance to win.
Yeah. 3-2 is the average score, right, in the NHL. Or maybe it's even higher now.
Yeah.
There's more goals. But yeah, if you do that, you should win.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, with Swayman, like, yeah, you drew the comparison to Tuukka, Cam, earlier. Especially what sticks out to me in that comparison is when there's traffic in the crease and chaos in the crease. Like, he doesn't give up big rebounds, and if he does, he directs it to the board. So like, the rebounds he does give up fall right in front of him, tends to be. So he's super calm, like Tuukka is, in those situations where Tuukka would just be butterfly and sitting there and waiting for it to hit him. He's a little more aggressive, wants to cover the puck, but he doesn't panic. He's not all over the place. It's not Tim Thomas over here doing windmills and for no reason.
Yeah.
Though I feel like Tuukka, that one of his big windmill saves, like a highlight, he didn't need to windmill, but he wanted to, so he did.
That's when you should windmill the most. Exactly. Is when you don't need to. Yeah.
But yeah, no, he was incredible. And I think they said it on the ABC broadcast that if the Bruins lost, then they were wasting one of the greatest performances you're going to see from a goaltender. Everything you could ask. They were in every single game, whether the skaters showed that desperation or that same energy. They didn't in every game, but Swayman was there and gave him a shot. So amazing and very happy. He's playing his way into a pretty good contract.
He certainly is. As for the skaters in front of them, nice to finally see some urgency out of the gate yesterday, I think. A lot more energy. Wish you'd seen that. The last two games, we probably wouldn't have had to sweat that one out yesterday, especially considering the game, you know, the 2-0 game six, that really was 1-0 with a late goal. That's going to need a change against Florida. They can pounce on you as a Panther does. But, you know, nice to see them finally step up when it mattered like that. Awesome to see Pastrnak get the tally. I know there are a lot of – he hasn't played the best series of his career, I don't think, by any means. But I think there are also a lot of idiots out there who are really quick to jump on the narrative of, like, this guy disappears in the playoffs kind of thing, which is just simply not true. Nice to see him kind of get that one and something that'll be a little bit of a, you know, a career stamper for him, and hopefully give him that confidence kind of going forward.
Yeah. I'm a little on the fence, cause I don't think he disappears in the playoffs, but it is weird to me that, like, all right, this guy's like a 130 point player. Like, what are, he 50 goals, however many assists, like he's going to put up huge numbers during the regular seasons. And then the retort to this guy disappears in the playoffs is, hey man, he's a point per game in the playoffs. And like, that's not disappearing in the playoffs, but it isn't, you know, being the 100 plus point player. It's being simply like a really good player, not a great player. Oh my God. I need to go get this dog.
Yeah. Hopefully, like I said, a little more of a boost to him there. I mean, obviously, again, you're playing against other playoff teams, it's a stiffer level of competition than you'll see throughout the course of the season. Plus, playing the same team 4 to 7 times, it's harder to, you know, for a superstar to kind of not be covered up a lot of the time. But
I think it just the vein, I stepped away for a minute, but if Pastrnak came up, he historically has been pretty quiet, like in the playoffs, pretty much. I think there's been some series in the past that, you know, he comes alive, but yeah, you get more heavily targeted. I mean, regular season, they're gonna probably stay away from hitting you for a good amount. I mean, the Bruins were going after Austin Matthews, and part of that was probably knowing he was injured, and you know what, you're gonna get hit if you're playing. So not that you're trying to injure him, but make him uncomfortable. And I think with Pastrnak, that's pretty much what they do, what opponents do in the playoffs is they, and I think there was a response where there was an open ice hit that one Toronto Maple Leaf threw at Pastrnak, and I was like, dang, he just got clocked. But
Edmondson,
he overcame it for that OT goal. And he was really, especially in that game seven and it pretty much in the games they won, he looked good and was creating chances. But I noticed in game seven, you know, when he was deking and everything, like he was actually coming up with the puck in the end. There's so many times where it just winds up in a defenseman skate or something when he goes for it and it's a turnover. But keep it up though. Keeping that going and overcoming that extra like target on your back. He just needs to do it. He's one of the best goal scorers in the league. He needs to score goals. So hopefully he can keep that up.
Yeah. I think getting that confidence is a big deal. Cause it really did seem like he wasn't trying stuff. He got real tight, and then, you know, the stuff that he was trying was more on the like trying to thread passes where they shouldn't be, like, and that's not the stuff that I want him to try. Like, I want him to try those between the legs, like deeks and stuff like that, where like he had a couple of really great opportunities that he created that, you know, they didn't turn into goals, but you know, I wanted to see him like do star shit. Like, I want him doing like rock star stuff, you know, like I don't want him
Barbie girl shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want him trying to thread passes along the blue line and give up 2-on-1s the other way. You know, I don't want him turning the puck over and then having to block his own mistakes and almost injure himself in the process. I mean, it's I think scoring the OT game winner against the Leafs is a not today, Justin moment that can propel him.
That's something to build off of.
Yeah.
Let's take a little peek forward before we wrap up. Florida rematch, obviously.
Can we before we peek forward talk about Hampus Lindholm?
Yes.
Because that was an insane game by Hampus.
Talk about rockstar shit. Yeah. For a guy who I think has gotten more criticism at times than he's probably deserved throughout the course of the season, didn't have the strongest start to the series, but my God, talk about finishing it. I mean, when the Bruins first picked him up and we were like, oh shit, at least me, like, this guy's fucking good. Like, I didn't realize how good this guy was. Mm-hmm. This is the type of performance that you were hoping to get out of him in the playoffs. And my God, I mean, again, like a little bit of luck on the tying goal, but made the shot at the end of the day, and a great setup on the Pastrnak goal of the winner. God, just a great series from him, at least to close it out there.
A little bit of luck, but what, he had like 7 shots on goal? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he was leading the team in shots, I think, through like the first 2 periods. Or the game, actually, the entire game, even the Leafs, he had more.
So, yeah,
shots.
I mean, like, it wasn't luck because he was bound to make one.
Yeah. I think also, like, it was a well-placed shot. That didn't get, like, deflected in front, right? It just went, like, that was so well-placed. He had some luck that it went off the shoulder and then went off the post and in, but, like, it was so well-placed while, like, you know, he wasn't covering that post well. So, but so much luck in hockey. But, yeah, he really stepped up in that game because he definitely looked off. I don't think he was like all season super duper off. Like, obviously coming off that season that he had, and, you know, carrying the team, like the defense anyway, when McAvoy was injured and all, you kind of saw that in him last night, which is great. It's like some of these Bruins, I mean, Jake DeBrusk too, they're getting hot at the right time. We talk about that with the goaltender. If you can have some key guys get hot at the right time too, like McAvoy's looked pretty damn good throughout the series, and they got what it takes right now to propel them, but whether they get the job done or not, that's another story.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you need your big guns to step up, and you know, I think it was a little hit or miss for certain guys throughout the series, but Game 7, mm-hmm. I thought most of them were really solid. So turning the page now for real to Florida.
Actually,
the storyline is self-evident there. What do we need to see differently? Part of me thinks we're going to get a little bit of a refresh, which is good. I think you need that after a series like that. A little bit different momentum. I think there's different expectation this year. I hope there's a little more freedom. I feel like that was the biggest difference maker last night. Is I feel like Games 5 and 6, the Bruins were scared to make a mistake the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got like a fuck it, we ball attitude yesterday. And guys like David Pastrnak making those plays, the between the legs deke, you know what I mean? Hampus Lindholm saying, fuck it, I'm just going to go out there and shoot everything at the fucking net. Sway looked obviously unreal all series, but it felt like they were playing with a little bit more freedom. And with that came a little bit more urgency yesterday. What do we need to see against Florida to make you feel like they've got a decent shot at winning this thing?
I need Monty to stop fucking with the lineup. Like, he's a notorious tinkerer at this point, where each of the last 2 seasons been up 3-1 and then made major changes to the lineup. I really wanted Lauko in, but I thought Braz played pretty well. Mm. So, I mean, whatever it is with the, like, just stick with what's working. Like, if it works, stick with it. If it's off, then change like little things. I don't need like fucking, all right, Brazzo, you're the first line center now. Like, we don't need any of that shit. Thought Lori looked pretty good on that top team. Excited about that. Good. I'm looking for the lineup to not change drastically. Mm-hmm. And I think doing something like starting Ullmark in Game 1 would be overthinking it a lot.
Yeah.
Ride the hot hand. Like, this is what it's supposed to be. Like, if you got 2 good goaltenders and one of them just is playing out of his mind, you got to ride that guy. And yeah, I mean, if Swayman stumbles, if he gives up four goals in game one, fine, go back to Ullmark game two.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really, they just need to show that drive and show that energy that it's a playoff game. Because there was times against Toronto where they just didn't match that. I think especially when closing out the series in game five and six, like Toronto, obviously they're going to play with extra desperation because their back's against the wall. But the Bruins just didn't match that energy and that pace. That's why they were getting outshot so much. That's why they couldn't really develop anything offensively. And I mean, I think in game six they played a good defensive game. Like they actually did. They were hounded in their own zone and everything, but keeping shots outside and then letting Swayman come up with great saves when he needs to, like not just constantly turning it over like we saw the goal in game seven where it was just this beautiful opportunity. You can't fault Swayman at all for not giving that up. So sound defensive play is going to be huge, but also after you weather that storm, coming out and responding with the counterattack, the Bruins would do that for like a shift or two in those games they lost against Toronto, and then it would die out. I think they really need to just, you got to roll all four lines and throw hits, keep some momentum going, get some possession down deep in their zone. You can't just wind up in the situation where you're locked into your own zone and that's how the most of the game goes. You need to step out of that.
Yeah. I felt like there's an urgent or like a thinking when you've got a team on the ropes like that, where it's like, all right, we know they're going to come out with a lot. Like, let's not get pulled into that. Like, let's just stay calm and play our game. And I feel like the Bruins got a little bit too comfortable in that space and just really was letting Toronto dictate the course of those two games they lost. Again, I think they kind of abandoned that last night and said, all right, you know, this is game seven, lay it on the line. We're going to be the ones to dictate the pace tonight. And came out a lot better. So definitely would like to see that off the jump. On that note, kind of like, especially given what happened last year, I kind of like starting on the road for this one. I don't, you know what I mean? If you, it's not like, oh, you give up two girly goals in game one and like the Garden's like, oh shit, here we go. Like, I kind of like having the road mindset for those first two games for this one. Hopefully you can steal at least one and get a little momentum coming back to the Garden. But, I don't know. It's a weird situation where I'm kind of cool with not having a building full of well, it's Florida. This still might be a building full of Bruins fans, but not having quite as much of the weight of expectation of like, we've got to, you know, win game one or else we're screwed and people are going to start, you know, panicking kind of thing.
Yeah, this Bruins team has been better on the road. And I don't know why, whatever. But yeah, I feel the same way. Just feel comfortable. I mean, they won two games in Florida this year in the regular season. It also might be one of the, like, all right, we're talking that hockey's weird, playoffs are weird. I mean, just going from the rest versus rust of it, like, maybe you catch Florida on their heels a little bit, you know, because you've been grinding out elimination games for the last week and, you know, you come in, you get a couple of days of rest. So, I mean, it's not like you're turning around and playing a back-to-back. But yeah, I mean, maybe with a less relentless forecheck, you're hoping maybe, you know, the ice in the Garden's been pretty fucking awful too. Yeah. So,
story maybe, of every spring.
Maybe we're hoping that the ice in Sunrise, whatever,
somehow they play
is better. And maybe, you know, maybe catch them on their heels and maybe get one of those like two goal, three assist pasta games.
Mm-hmm. Be huge.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Drew.
I was going to give a prediction, but I don't know if you were going to.
No, my last note was if we could win a fucking face off, that would be really neat. I know we lost our top two centers, including probably the best face off taker in the league, or at least that the Bruins have ever seen. But good Lord. In a game seven, especially, fucking hell, when you're just giving away possession to start every opportunity, it hurts. So a little bit more efficiency at the dot. I don't need it to be 55%. You know what I mean? I'll take 48 at this point, but good Lord, it was brutal at some points throughout that series.
Yeah, I think there was one point in game seven where it was Coyle, I believe, got kicked out of the dot, and then Marshawn went in, and he was like shaking his head that they called him for the false start and everything, and then he just won the face off of Matthews. And it wasn't like he like half set up, like he kind of just took it, like he had possession and then passed it back to the defense. He just
Pasta was three for three taking face offs, by the way. Yeah.
Pasta was three for three dead.
Yeah, not in the game, but in the series. He won two against Tavares, I believe. What was I going to say? I got distracted by by Pasta's insane faceoff taking. We talked about this with Dale, where, you know, analytically, they kind of say faceoffs don't matter, which is funny to me because you can see how important faceoffs are. Yeah. They don't matter until they really matter.
Yeah.
Because when you take faceoffs as a whole, you know, you're going to win probably somewhere between 45 and 55% of them. And overall, if you're giving up possession just to dump the puck in, whatever, after a certain amount of those, yeah, it doesn't matter. If you're taking like thousands of faceoffs as a sample size, sure. But if you need to win a faceoff in the defensive zone, with 5 minutes left in the game, tie game, whatever, after an icing, everybody on the ice is tired. You need a guy on the team who can win a fucking faceoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it doesn't matter how many faceoffs he's won in the past or whatever. I don't know. Is Johnny Beecher that guy? I feel like he's probably their best faceoff guy at this
Maybe.
Point.
Yeah.
Not having him in the lineup for, I don't remember how many games. He might've been out for one game, might've been out for two. I don't know. But, it felt like a weird decision. So I would like to keep him in the lineup.
Yeah, I thought he's looked pretty good. Like on that note, same thing with the power play. They were struggling to set up power play. The zone entries were not the best on the back half of the series when you're getting the power play draw to start it off and you lose it. And all of a sudden you can't get in the zone for another minute and you've got a 60-second power play instead of 120. It makes a difference. So definitely would like to see some improvement there, but Drew, you're gonna tell us the future.
So I'll preface this by saying, I mean, it will probably. All right, I have two different predictions. Are you ready for this?
Let's hear them.
Number one is Bruins sweep, and I'm saying that because 2011 there was a 7-game battle against Montreal. They went in overtime. Toronto is that this year, that version. And then they got revenge against Philly by sweeping them and completing that sweep. And maybe Bruins in five and they actually close it out or something like that. Like there's going to be revenge here. And if they do that can propel them. They then face Carolina or the Rangers, who are basically Tampa that year. That was just a juggernaut that came through.
I think they need to get revenge against Carolina.
Yeah, yeah, that could be
the revenge tour.
Yeah, so I mean,
I saw Matty Port's tweeting that earlier, and then he finished it, I think, with looks west. Vancouver's still in it, huh?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
wouldn't be revenge, but that would be a fun rematch.
Hockey is just crazy like that. So I mean, I don't think a sweep is at all out of the question. Just if they can propel off this game and go like that distance, I think with just how good of a team Florida is this year, it's it'll go longer than that. It'll probably, if I'm just being realistic about a playoff series, I say six. They win it in Boston. The Boston wins it in Boston. I should preface.
Bruins in eight.
Nice. Like that.
Yeah, they get they play three overtimes in games.
Yes. I like it. Honestly, I feel like if the Bruins are gonna win this series, I don't want to say it, but I feel like it's gonna go seven again. I feel like it might go seven in overtime again. Ugh, it hurts.
Yeah, I don't know. Goalie Bob doing his like Vezina finalist year this year was wild. Didn't see that coming again. Yeah. Like it's insane. This guy, like, he disappears for like chunks of years and then he emerges to win a Vezina every once in a while.
Yeah, it's pretty much it.
Very fun.
Every like it's like an Olympic year. He's like, oh, here we go again. Like
this guy's career is over and now he's a Vezina finalist again.
Very odd. Game one Monday, game two, did they say yet? Is it Wednesday or are they doing
it's every other day for the first four games. So if you're contrasting this with the Celtics schedule, it's gonna be a full week of games.
Nice.
So if you're looking to watch Boston sports every day for the next week, get ready.
And not the Red Sox.
Don't. They don't watch the Red Sox.
They've been all right. Pitching's been good. Shouts Cutter Crawford, Tanner Houck. All right. Go Bees.
We got to sing out.
Hit it, Drew.
Ba-da-ba-ba. Cheerios. Lower your cholesterol with the well-balanced diet. Da-da-da-da-da. Do 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 do.
I'm always excited to hear what the first song that comes to Drew's head is when put on the spot. I wasn't ready for that.
That's just perpetually going to Drew's head. All right, we'll see you after game one, folks.
Do 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 do.